This is On the Tee, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Now here's your host, Anita Marks, on 98.7 ESPN.
Hopefully you're ready to go. Anita Marks with you. It is On the Tee. A lot to get to this morning, talking all things golf. Yes, a golf tournament is happening in the middle of, at the end of a very exciting 3 days of the NFL draft. So we talk golf here for the first hour from 8 to 9, 9 o'clock. The Anita Marks Show will begin. I was going to say tee off, but we're teeing off right now. Steve Bertarossa, former NFL scout with the Giants for over 30 years, is going to join me around 9:30. We'll break down, we'll get his views in regard to some of the draft grades out there for the Jets and, of course, the Giants and others out there. I think a lot of teams did extremely well and surprisingly so. So a lot of draft talk throughout the show today. We'll get into some NBA. Of course, the Nets and the Knicks are back in action. The Nets going up against the Bucks at 3:30 is tip-off. That's going to be an exciting game, maybe a preview of the Eastern Conference Championship. You never know. Cynthia Freeland always joins us on the weekends, so she's going to be joining us around 11 o'clock. Again, some more draft talk, and we'll recap what happened with the Preakness. I'm sorry, with the Belmont last night, and we'll preview what's coming your way in the Preakness in our last hour with you until noon today. So let's get started. In regard to golf, we always like to look back before we look forward, and recapping the Zurich Classic, the Aussies won. They Hammond egged it, Leishman and Cam Smith, that's for sure. This is really a fun tournament. They beat out the South Africans, Louis O and Schwartzel. I really, even though it's a different format, it's the teammates, it's the best ball, it's the alternate shot, I think the tour can do something really fun with this tournament. Like, you know, maybe, and I was reading a lot of different articles in regard to how they can expand on it and make it even more fun. Maybe having your, so pretty much what they did was they took the top, whatever, so many players and allowed those players to be that team's captain and then them choose who they wanted as their teammates. How about we have a draft? You see the draft happen in the NBA. I think it's fun when they have that all-star game and you've got the two captains drafting. I think that would be fun. So not necessarily, you know, obviously if you're taking the number one player in the world, I don't know, maybe you draft names out of a hat in regard to the order, something like that. I think they can expand on this tournament and make it even better, even where you're not just playing two types of formats. Maybe you expand it and you play four different types of formats on all 4 days. So I think there's a lot of talk and a lot of consideration in how they can make that tournament even better. But I really enjoyed it last week. And if you listen to the show, we helped you win some money. We told you Leishman and Cam Smith, and sure enough, they delivered. So hopefully another reason to listen to On the Tee on Sunday mornings. So where does everything stand with the FedEx Cup? Let's take a look. At the top, number one, Bryson DeChambeau. He's still up there. Right behind him is Justin Thomas. Cam Smith, of course, after the win last week. Schauffele is at four. Stuart Sink is at five, of course, with his win. With his son on his bag 2 weeks ago. Cantlay's at six. Hovland's at seven. Jordan Spieth is at eight. Decky at nine, of course, winning the Masters. And Dustin Johnson is still at 10, which is a little surprising to me. I'm going to get into some Dustin Johnson talk with you in just a second. Also, there's a lot of talk as of right now. You know, who's the golfer of the year? 800-919-3776. If you want to call into the show, by all means, happy to hear what you have to say. To me, it's between Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth. You know, both these guys, you know, obviously Bryson DeChambeau in the way that he's just been so dominant, as we know, off the tee and the success that he's had this season, but also, you know, with Jordan Spieth and the season he's had, you know, maybe comeback golfer of the year. But if there's another golfer out there that you think should be in the discussion in regard to golfer of the year, I'd really like to hear it. So the odds in regard to the PGA Championship, that's the next major that is coming up. Dustin Johnson is still favored at 10 to 1, which I find pretty interesting. because his best tournament was Riviera back in February, where he was tied for eighth. Since then, so yesterday he dropped to 74 in the tournament, the Valspar Championship that's happening right now. And I was looking at some of his other stats here, and this is kind of interesting. After entering this event this weekend, he's 112th in strokes gained putting. Strokes lost putting. He double bogeyed his two final three round holes at the WGC. So, you know, obviously he's struggling right now. And that's no surprise. I didn't put any money on him coming into the Valspar. Not sure if you did. But I just, here's the thing. And I said this a few weeks ago, and we're going to have John Mascari, who's going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. And as always, Christina Thompson, my two partners in crime, when it comes to this program. And we discussed this. I'm not going to use the word shocked. I'll use the word surprised that Dustin Johnson is favored heading into the PGA Championship. You know, for me, I would favor Dustin Johnson. Heck, I'd favor John Rahm over DJ. So where it stands right now, Dustin Johnson 10-1, JT and John Rahm 12-1. I know we're splitting hairs, but still, Bryson DeChambeau 14-1, Spieth 16-1, Brooks Koepka 16-1, Schauffele as well as Rory. That's another. I'll say shocked right there. Why? How's Rory 16-1? Dude has lost his shot. that's pretty surprising to me. I just don't quite understand that one. All right, let's take a look at the Valspar. I know a lot of people listen to the show, especially when we put it up back up on as a podcast. We try to help you win some money. So where does the Valspar, where does everything stand right now? At the top of the leaderboard, Keegan Bradley and Sam Burns are tied at 14 under. Bradley has just been unbelievable this tournament. He's number one in strokes gained tee to green and number one in strokes gained on approach. I put some money down on Bradley in the match play in round three, Bradley against Burns, and they pushed yesterday. They both shot a 69. So Bradley came out post his second round. Yeah, post his second round, he came out and he said he was feeling really, really good with his putter this weekend. And that's why I faded Sam Burns. I just felt the fact that Bradley was playing so well with his irons, and he said he was feeling so good with his putter. That's why I played Bradley. Unfortunately, his putter was an issue yesterday. So Max Homa shot a 66. And so now Max Homa, because Bradley and Burns struggled, if you want to say 69 is struggling, I know it's not for us, but somewhat it is for them. Max Homa now is one stroke behind Bradley and Burns. Some other guys that are in contention. What about Ted Potter? He shot a 63 yesterday. So you've got a few guys that are 10 under, and the guys that I'm looking at are Anser and Neiman. You know, can Ted Potter repeat that performance? I doubt it. But those are the guys that are, in my opinion, that are in contention. I mean, if Charlie Hoffman, he's at 9 under. I like Charlie Hoffman coming into this tournament. I actually put some money down on him to finish in the top 5, top 10. He's sitting at 8 right now. And here's an interesting stat for you as well. 9 of the last 13 winners at Valspar have come from behind. So, listen, you've got Bubba, who's, as we know, one of the best iron players out there. He's at 8 under. I know it's quite a few shots back. He shot a 68 yesterday. So, you know, is it out of the realm of possibility? No, I don't think so. You know, especially if Bradley's putter struggles again today. Who knows what happens with Burns? I'm fading Burns. Not that I'm not a big fan. I just think the stage is a little bit too big for him. I do like Max Homa a lot. I'm gonna put some money on Max Homa to win this tournament. Only being one shot back and coming off of a round of 66 yesterday. Same with Anser. Anser's 4 shots back. I know that's a little hefty, but I liked Anser coming into this tournament as well. So again, I'm gonna share this stat with you. 9 of the last 13 winners have come from behind. So This is what we're going to do. We come back. John Mascari is going to join me. We'll get some thoughts. Who does he like heading into the final round of the Valspar? And then I'm going to share with you some of my picks and some of my plays. There's some really good value out there, not just to win the tournament, but you always, I tend to find that you get really good value when you put money on guys that are going to finish in the top five, top 10. And also there's some matches out there. Nothing that I really like that's at plus money. There's a long shot. Again, I'm going to tee it up for John. We'll see what he says. But there's a few fourth round matches that I like as well. And a lot of times what I do is I'll parlay these. So even though they're at, you know, minus 136, minus 117, you parlay them and then they put you into some plus money. Of course, as we know, whatever, they all have to hit. So I know that's asking a lot.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink. Ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
Right now, John Mascari joins us, head pro at Alpine Country Club and one of my partners in crime on this program. John, good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Anita. Good morning. How are you?
I am rooting you. Okay, so a few things. I'm rooting for Max Homa for two reasons. Number one, there's some really good odds. Okay, and we're going to get into those in a minute. Number two, him and I have had a few conversations on DM on Twitter, and if he wins, you know me, I'm going to try to get him on our program.
Let's go.
Right?
Sliding into his DMs, huh?
I'm sliding in. Hey, hey, congrats. Hope you win today. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully I can get him as a guest next week. We'll see.
He's really been playing fantastic. Right.
With that being said, I shared a stat with our listeners just a second ago. 9 of the last 13 winners at this tournament have come from behind. And there's a few guys that if they have like a stellar round, I mean, look, Ted Potter shot a 63 yesterday. Again, I like Homa, but you've got Anser who's 4 shots back, Neiman as well. Hoffman is 5 shots back. And you never know, Bubba Watson, he gets hot with that iron. You never know. I liked Kokrak coming into this tournament. He's tied for 12th. He's 7 under. I think he's too far back. But anyway, who do you have today? Who do you think is going to bring this home on the final round, John?
I hate to agree with you once again, Anita, but I'm all in on Max. It's so bad. But you know, I'm looking at his season. I'm looking at the statistics. I'm looking where he was projected, how he's playing, just kind of. Like you said just before, 66, 68, 66. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, nothing too high, nothing too low, just kind of going through the course, not trying to overpower, but let the course come to him. We know that Valspar is traditionally one of the hardest golf courses on the tour. And it's been hot in Florida this May, so they had to water the greens, and that's why you saw some of the really low rounds. But don't expect that again today. No one's going to shoot 63 today. So congratulations to Ted Potter, but don't expect another 63 on the books. And I think, again, if Max hangs around at that 65, 66 number, he's right in it. Listen, everyone could, the top 7, 8 guys are in the hunt, especially at this golf course, which is so challenging. But I like how Max has been playing. He's going for his second win of the year. Again, not making maybe some of the mistakes that some of the other players might make in that situation. So let's go, Max.
You know, you mentioned.
I'm not gonna DM him. Don't worry.
No, hey, the more the merrier. you mentioned this course, Copperhead, being one of the most difficult courses on tour, but it's not playing as such this year. A lot of it, agree, and in regard to it being played at a different time.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean. This is these guys, both of them at 14 under tied the 50-hole course record. So and the two guys that had that was Adam Hadwin and KJ Choi ended up going on to win. But again, this is not going to be the same course today that you saw the last 3 days. So when you're watching golf today and you're laying on your couch and you flip on the Valspar, don't expect it to be eagles everywhere and chip ins and birdies and this and that. I think we're going to see a return to normal for the golf course, where if you can go out and shoot 4 under today, if you're close to the lead, you could walk away with the trophy.
Again, John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I'm going to throw out a few matches for you that I really like today. McCarthy over Clark, minus 136. Neesmith over Villega, minus 136. Hoffman over Tringali, minus 117. Answer over Neiman, minus 117. Bradley over Burns, minus 132. But here's the one I want to get your thoughts on. I opened up the show. We talked about Zurich. We talked about the FedEx Cup standing. We also talked about the odds to win the PGA Championship. And DJ's still up there, 10-1, favored. JB Holmes over DJ today, plus 265. I'm throwing some coin on that. DJ's struggling, dude. He's struggling. I'm going to get JB Holmes at plus 265. Why not? Plus 265? I'll put $5 on that.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing well all week. We know that his short game has been horrific. I mean, I hate to say it, from the number one player in the world. But he's still the best player in the world, last time I checked. If he goes out and shoots 64, you know, he goes on these birdie streaks. You know, he's not going to end up in the top 10, but he can put a good number out there. I'm going to go against you on that one. I think I'm taking DJ.
You're taking DJ? Okay. Maybe a little bottle of wine. Here's the thing, because I'm trying to...
I'm up like four cases already, by the way.
Oh, relax. Relax, mister. Here it is. So Dustin Johnson is tied for 60, okay? He's even on this tournament. Shot a 74 yesterday, a 69, a 68 on Friday, and a 71 on Thursday. Here's the thing. dude's got a ton of money, right? Like, what is he trying to get into the top 40? Like, does he use, and I'm just throwing this out, shoot this down, right? Call me crazy. Does he use this tournament to work
You're
on some things? Come on. Does he use this round to work on some things, possibly?
He probably is. He's probably coasting through this round, but, you know, you could also say that he's going to be ultra aggressive today. He's got nothing to lose. So when you're aggressive and you're the number one player in the world, you could probably put up a good number. But like we said before, he's not playing well this week. Who knows? But I wouldn't count DJ out.
All right. Personal little wager. I'll take Holmes. You take DJ. I think DJ is going to work on some stuff.
DJ's going to cover
for the PGA for the PGA Championship. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yes, I like him for the PGA also.
I know you do. I'm staying way far away from him. By the way, before we start talking about a really interesting topic in something that's a rule change, a philosophy change, not too far from us, did you hear that my guy Willie Zalatoris got engaged?
I did. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no. Here's the thing. Well, let me preface before before people start.
Hold on,
thinking
let me sit down.
Before people start thinking I'm a horrible human being. What is he? 24 years old? Like, listen, I'm thrilled for the young man. You know, I've called him my guy. I've put Ricky Fowler on the shelf. Which, by the way, did you see that Ricky Fowler got into the PGA Championship? Speaking of Ricky Fowler,
well,
I know I'm
really
all,
trying
I know
hard
I'm
to get
all,
Ricky to be real.
I know I'm all over the place, but here, Ricky Fowler reportedly among the participants to receive a special invitation to play in the PGA Championship next month. Are you kidding me? He sits at 100. He's ranked 111th. And you know I love Ricky. You know my scooter's orange because of Ricky. Mm-hmm. I love Ricky. You know that, but. What's that about?
Right. And listen, I think it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And I'm going to put my PGA professional hat on right now.
You are.
We just had our club professional tournament in Florida where all of our section winners from all the sections in the country go down, and they're playing for 20 spots in the PGA Championship. Let another one of those guys get in versus giving the exemption to Ricky. You know what I mean?
I hear you. And again,
it's so bad.
You know me, I'm a huge Ricky Fowler fan. How did we get to Ricky Fowler? We're talking about Willie Zalatoris I'm going to tell you how. Let's connect the dots. Willie Zalatoris got engaged. Dude just went pro. You're 24 years old. Like, And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here. Like, I'm all for it. Like, all about the romance, all about the engagement, all about falling in love. Love all that. But dude just went pro and he's 24 years old. I hope his game doesn't go in the toilet like Ricky's did after Ricky got married. That's
so you're saying that getting married sends golfers' games into the toilet?
Well, we've seen it. We saw it with Spieth. We saw it with Ricky. Listen, I'm all about winning money. I've been winning a ton of money.
You don't know what's the backstory with Will Zalatoris.
How shallow.
Maybe they've been dating for a long time and they didn't have enough money to get married. Now they finally have some money.
How shallow do I sound that I'm like, Willie, don't. How shallow do I sound that I'm like, Willie, don't get married. I'm winning money with you finishing the top 20. I'm worried that you won't after you get married. Well, I'm so shallow. What is wrong with me this morning? Anyway, before we let you go, let's talk about Pine Valley Golf Club. That is just now. Just now. Wait, I'm sorry. What year is it? Is it 2021? Right? 2021, right? Just now allowing women not only to play, but allowed on the premises of their golf course just because they don't have a male body part. You know how I feel about this, right? You know, and I was reading this article. I just want to share this with you. Did you know this? So Jack Nicklaus played the course for the first time in 1960 during his honeymoon while his wife Barbara had to wait outside the gates. Just marinating that for a minute, because I don't know. Like, I don't know about you. I don't know if I would continue to be married to Jack.
But Anita, you remember Augusta National didn't allow women members until 2012.
When did they allow African Americans?
St. Andrews.
When did they allow African Americans? Same thing.
Right, but think about the Royal and Ancient of St. Andrews, 2014. It's 260 years old, and they just allowed women in.
So we know how horrible this is. Did we lose him? You there? Okay.
I'm here.
So we know how Neanderthal, right? This thought process is. I guess my question to you is, A, why has it taken so long? What is the philosophy? No women allowed. I know golf only, ladies forbidden, right? What is the philosophy behind it, and why do you feel it's taken so long for this to change?
Well, I can't really speak on the philosophy behind it. I'm obviously not the professional at Pine Valley, but I feel from being in the industry that it is the tradition of the club. It's their private club. It's the number one ranked club in the world. They can do what they feel they can do whatever they want. And if you don't like it, don't join. I looked this up, 3,600 or so private clubs in the country. Less than a dozen are men only still, but there are still men only clubs. The thing is, Pine Valley doesn't host any majors. They don't host open events. They're just a private club. You know, I think when you're hosting a big tournament, you feel the need to have to be more inclusive because you might be losing sponsors, you might not get the event, so and so. Pine Valley, they feel they can do whatever they want. And kudos to them for taking this step. If you ask me, it's a little late, but at least they're doing it. Women were allowed to play at Pine Valley only on Sunday afternoons before this. So now they can be a guest. You can enjoy the club without any restrictions, and they're going to start that immediately. They're going to start looking into candidates that are female for membership, hopefully by the end of the year. And, you know, their custom has been they have to have prospective candidates who are socially compatible. This is share a deep passion for golf and able to play the golf course with the skill of our founder, George Crump. That's from the director at Pine Valley. Extremely difficult golf course. Extremely difficult. And it's going to be curious to see who breaks through that glass ceiling and becomes a member at Pine Valley.
How many female members are at Augusta? I know Candelisa Rice is one, and I from what I understand,
yes,
she's got like a 5 handicap. I heard she's a phenomenal golfer.
I wouldn't say there's a lot. Maybe a dozen, Anita. I don't know exactly, but it's not like it's 50-50.
You know, and I just want to end on this. You know, another thing that kind of gets in my craw is, you know, golf courses that have like restricted areas where women are not allowed. I mean, that still exists. It's just ridiculous to me. But it is what it is.
It's archaic, really.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations, Pine Valley, for finally waking up and entering 2021. John, always great to hear your voice. Enjoy your day. From what I understand, it's supposed to be 80 today, so I'm sure all your members are going to be out there. Say hello
much
to Harold,
Harold
and Kathy
morning.
For me. What'd you say?
It was cold yesterday. It was cold yesterday morning,
yeah.
But it's gorgeous right now.
I haven't been out of my house since Wednesday because of the NFL draft. But I'm going to venture out today. Today at noon, my life goes back to normal.
Let me ask you this question, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you an NFL question. As a Giant fan, do you like their first round pick? You're giving me the ugh?
No. I love the trade. I love the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I like Kadarius Toney. I like him. I think that there were some other players on the board that they could have taken that I would have rather of them taken or even traded down even further. I at that point in time on the board, I didn't have Kadarius Toney as the best player on the board when the Giants drafted him at 20. But we're burying the lead here. I love the trade. Right? Like, if your guy wasn't there, then trade down. And I think their guy was JC Horn. Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants, thinks that their guy was a wide receiver, whether it was Waddle or Smith. But obviously their guy wasn't there, so they traded down. So I like the trade a lot. And I like the player a lot. I just think that there were better players on the bet. If the Giants are drafting best player available, they didn't do it. And I think the bigger picture here, John, is this is the year for Daniel Jones. As Mama Mimi likes to say,
right.
poop or get off the pot. She uses a different word, but this is a family show. So this is the year for Daniel Jones. And Dave Gettleman, who's still the general manager, has hitched his wagon to Daniel Jones. And so he's going to do everything possible to make sure that Daniel Jones is successful this year. And by drafting Kadarius Toney, I see it. I see the big picture now. But don't pride yourself on drafting best player available because Kadarius Toney was not the best player on the board at that time. Does that answer your question?
Right. Yeah, is this like another draft where they, to your point, they made a stretch to pick someone who wasn't the best available? They've got Kenny Galladay. They've got Kyle Rudolph now. They've got Slayton. They've got a lot of opportunities for Daniel Jones. As you said, they're giving him targets, but you know, need, I'm thinking edge rusher right off the bat.
Well, they did get Ojulari, but he's hopefully healthy. We'll see. Apparently he's got a degenerated knee issue, but nonetheless arthritis, as we like to call it. But I think it was a reach. I think it was a reach, and we'll see what happens. But anyway,
we'll see.
I will let you get back to your members. Always great to talk to you on Sunday morning for On the Tee. He's John Mascari.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink. Ready to go. On 98.7 ESPN.
I think I played really well. Got off to a great start. Thought I had a really good tee shot on 16. It just snuck through the fairway there and just not really a good spot. And then 18, I thought that ball was in the fairway. I think it just kicked dead left into a bad line of bunker and then plugged in the next one. So I would have taken five after seeing where that plugged bunker shot was. So overall, I think I played solid.
That is Sam Burns. As we head into the final round of the Valspar Championships, he shot a 69 yesterday, 63 on Friday, and a 67. On Thursday, so he's tied for the lead with Keegan Bradley at 14 under, Max Homa right behind them. It's time now for my gambling tips heading into the final round, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go. Here we go. As I was discussing with John Mascari just a second ago, I'm just feeling Max Homa right now for a number of reasons. If you like Bradley, you like the way that he's been playing, as I said when I opened up the show, he's leading this charge with strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained on approach. And those are two important, these are two important metrics that you needed to pay attention to heading into this tournament. So I do like Bradley 2-1, or if you like Bradley 2-1, Burns plus 225. But where I'm putting my money is Homa at plus 250. Some other long shots. You've got Answer, who's four shots back. I liked Answer coming in. I put some money on Answer winning this damn thing. You can get him at 4-1. Again, he's four shots back. Neiman, as well as four shots back, he's 14-1. Hoffman is five shots back. I liked Hoffman coming into this thing. He's 33-1 and some really big long shots. How about Bubba Watson? 100-1. Put a dollar down. I mean, what do you have to lose? A dollar that Bubba just goes to town today and a number of these other guys struggle? You never know. So anyway, to win, I feel my favorite bet is Max Homa at plus 275. To finish in the top five, I like Answer. Right now, Answer is tied for fourth. You could get him to do well and continue to be in this area, top four, top five, at plus 100 money. It's probably one of my favorite bets on the table today is Answer to finish in the top five at plus 100. To finish in the top 10, how about this? And I should have, Scotty Scheffler is a golfer that John really, really loves. He's tied for 12th right now. He's 7 under. He shot a 66 yesterday. Opening round, no bueno, 73. Got better on Friday at a 67 and then shot a 66 yesterday. He's tied for 12th. He's 7 under. He's one shot back from being in the top 10. I like him finishing in the top 10 at plus 188. It's another one of my favorite bets out there. So my three favorite bets, Homa plus 275, Answer to finish in the top 10 at plus 100, and Scheffler to finish Answer to finish in the top five at plus 100, Scheffler to finish in the top 10 at plus 188. Those are my three favorite bets. And in regard to the matches heading into today's round, I've got Bradley over Burns at minus 132. I've got Answer over Neiman at minus 117. I've got Hoffman over Tringali at minus 117. I've got McCarthy over Clark at minus 136. And I'm taking a flyer here. Call me crazy. But DJ is way down there, okay? I've got JB Holmes shooting a better fourth round than DJ at plus 265. I just think there's a possibility DJ, he's been struggling. He's got to get ready for the PGA Championship. He is favored. I think he works on some stuff today. I think that's what he does. So I'm taking a flyer. Listen, it's plus 265. Put $5 on it. What do you got to lose?
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink, ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.
Keegan Bradley, 69 yesterday, 66. Very impressive on Friday and even more impressive 64 on Thursday. Again, leading this field in strokes gained, tee to green, as well as on approach. Without further ado, my bets, as I like to call them, my locks, heading into the final round, brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Canteen is a refreshing, ready-to-drink vodka soda in a can, on the go, on the course, or in your own backyard. Learn more at drinkcanteen.com. Must be 21 years or older. And again, always enjoy responsibly. Without further ado, Christina Thompson joins us. Golf for Her CEO. I always say in order to play well on the golf course, you got to look good. And I always look good when I get my clothing from Golf for Her. Christina, welcome. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm great. Let's dive right into LP. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm tired. I was watching that LPGA event last night. I was up until like 2:30 in the morning watching the final round.
I was just going to say, so the women are in Asia right now at the HSBC. Now, you and I were texting on Wednesday. You told me to put money on green. And so I want to say I was up late watching a movie on Netflix last night, and I just happened to grab my computer, and she was at the top of the leaderboard, and I was going to text you, and I was like, oh, it's like 12:30 in the morning, and I'm not going to text her. But then I woke up this morning, and I looked, and she lost. I know. I went to bed thinking, ooh, mama's going to get a new pair of shoes. And then I woke up this morning saying, oh, nope, same old sneakers on Sunday. What happened in this tournament?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, Anita, I just got her a good win. I thought Hannah's going to, you know, pull it off. But Hyuju Kim, she won the HSBC Championship, 17 under 271. I mean, it was her fourth win, and her final round of 8 under 64 was flawless. But Hannah, she gave us something to root for. She had it. I thought, like, you know, she, if you were watching or anyone watches the highlights today, she pitches her shot for eagle on the 14th hole. This is the second time she holed out in the tournament. With that, you know, she tied it up. She followed it up with a birdie on 16. She took the outright lead while Ju Kim was actually in the clubhouse thinking, like, oh, no, what's going to happen here? And I honestly, I'm like, Hannah's got this. She's got this. She's got, like, two more holes to go before she wins this tournament. I got Anita. She wins some money. And then she bogeyed the last two holes and ended up finishing 16 under. I was like, are you kidding me? I stayed up for this.
So that's what happened. She bogeyed the last two holes. Oh, my gosh.
The last two holes. Like, I mean, it's like, dude, it was yours. And it, I don't know. It was hard for her. And I'm sure she's having a harder time with the loss than we are. But it was a good round. So it's going to be played. They'll be airing it. So if you all want to watch it, definitely tune in. It was close.
What's the next tournament? When do ladies teeing it up again?
They're heading to Thailand this week now for the Honda LPGA Classic. It's right outside of Bangkok, so they'll be out there. But I don't know if you heard, but you know, a few years ago we had the HSBC Championship. Paula Creamer, she won that back in 2014. And if you haven't heard, Paula Creamer's coming back.
She's back. The Pink Panther is back.
Yep. The Pink, after 18 months, I mean, she is good for golf. She's been good. She was out for a little while. She had a wrist injury, kind of sidelined her for a little bit, but you know, she's been recovering. She took the year off for the pandemic. I mean, we haven't seen much from Paula in the last few years since she's won. I mean, I think the last win was like 2014, but she's back. She looks healthy. She's been playing in a few mini tours down in Florida. So she says she's ready and primed to play. And I think she's going to use Kings Mill, which is an event here on the East Coast down in Virginia, for her, you know, comeback event, and plans on playing the rest of the season on tour. So I think all those Paula Creamer, Pink Panther fans will be happy to see her back out on the course this year.
Great stuff. Again, Christina Thompson, golf for her. She reps clothing-wise, of course, a lot of the women on tour, so has her finger on the pulse of the LPGA better than most. Let's end on this, and that is the news with Pine Valley Golf Club, just a stone's throw south from us, finally permitting women. It's not even just allowing women to play their golf course. It's allowing women to be on their grounds. Like, and it's 2021. I shared this quote with John. John was on, as you know, was on with me about 30 minutes ago. I was reading the article. So apparently Jack Nicklaus played this course for the first time during his 1960 honeymoon while his wife Barbara had to wait outside the gates. This was his quote in his autobiography, My Story. Barbara still doesn't believe that anyone who'd been around golf as much as I had by then would not know that Pine Valley was for men only. But it was the truth. I didn't. When friends ask what I shot there for the first time, I tell them I shot a 74, but it wasn't a fair test because I was on my honeymoon. Wink, wink. Anyway, anyway, your thoughts on Pine Valley. Finally, you know, stop being so 2000 and late.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm all, you know, the world that I'm in, I'm all supporting all women to play golf. I feel that women deserve a place on the golf course, and they should be. I mean, I get it. Private clubs have the right to have these restrictions. It's an old club. They finally, I mean, it's taken forever for them to change, and I'm so delighted. I'm now going to add Pine Valley to my bucket list course because it was never on it because I knew it was never going to happen. So I'm excited. I'm interested to see who the first members are going to be. You know, I'd love to see Pine Valley now have a women's major. You know, you've got Augusta who has the men's, the masters. Why can't, you know, let's have a women's major event at Pine Valley. If they really, really want to show that they want to be all inclusive, that should be on the agenda. So hopefully, fingers are crossed, that we're going to see something. But I think it's super cool. Finally, Jim Davis steps up and says that, yeah, the club needs to be inclusive. So,
you know,
we'll
and
see
here
what happens.
You know, just to put a big fat bow on this topic of conversation, you know, and I asked John earlier, I said, you know, what's the philosophy here? What's the mentality? And let's be honest, the mentality is women don't play golf as well as men, which I think is a crock. But
crock.
Right. And let's go one step further. I said to, you know, I shared with John, you know, how disappointing it is a lot of times I'll be at a golf course and, oh, well, you can't go into that lounge. It's men only. What? Mm-hmm. which I think is, again, is ridiculous. But here's the thing. If this is about quality of play, if this is about, listen, you know, we don't want hackers at our golf course. Okay. Then I'm going to rewind here for a second. You know, we still deal with, oh, women can't tee off until afternoon on certain mm-hmm. golf courses. Okay. Which I think is bogus as well, because I don't think it should be mm-hmm. about gender. It should be about if the main reason is you don't want a hacker at your club, then it should be your handicap. So if you are a 18 handicap, if you are a 16 handicap, if you are a 12 handicap and under, then, you know, and you need your card, then okay. You know, I don't have a problem with that. All right, listen, you know, Saturday and Sunday mornings, we've got a lot of people that come out here. They want to play. We want to keep up the pace of play. So if you're a 12 handicap or under, you can make a tee time for whatever, 6:30 through 10:30 a.m., right? Handicap 16 and under, you can make a tee time from 10 a.m. to noon. And then it's open to everybody at noon. Like, if it's about pace of play, and if it's about, you know, you want really good golfers, it's not about gender. It's how a person plays regardless of gender. I mean, listen, you know, we've got a friend, Kate, who, I mean, she'll beat the pants off of any man listening to this program right now that's not a pro. I guarantee you that. So it's not about gender. And I have such an issue with that. Put in some type of handicap program, handicap stipulation. I don't have a problem with that. I'm fine with that. I understand. It's the worst. I can't stand playing behind people who play really slow, even though you and John think I play slow. I'm still dealing with that. I don't think I do play slow. You guys think I play slow, but fine. You know, I can't stand, you know, dudes out there trying to find their ball for over 7 minutes, right? I mean, if you're dropping $75 to play a round of golf, or you're paying, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 for a membership at a club for a year, what are you doing spending 15 minutes looking for a $3.25 ball? I you can see that this gets in my craw.
Oh, yeah, listen, I can go on for hours about this conversation, but I do agree. And I think a lot of clubs you're going to see start changing them. And there's some very popular clubs here in the East Coast that have those rules. I'm not going to shame them live, you know, on the radio, but there are some clubs that, you know, we play a lot and we are told that we aren't able to tee off until the afternoon, or if like our husbands, or if we're there, we're not able to tee off in those early morning tee times. And I agree. It should maybe be handicap specific, but not gender specific. I played golf 2 weeks ago with some of the most incredible power hitters that you can imagine that you would love to play golf with. And any club should want these women at their club, but because of their gender, they are not able to play until the afternoon tee time. So I think the clubs are going to start to change. And honestly, if, you know, I'm going to join a club soon, and I'm obviously not going to join a club that, you know, my tee time is going to be delegated by my gender, you know. So they're going to start missing out on a lot of new members that are going to want to join their clubs if they, you know, if they segregate them based on their gender. So we'll see. Don't but you, I agree. It drives me bananas.
Just let's end on this, and I only have about 30 seconds here. Just to confirm, isn't female golfers the largest growing demo in golf?
Absolutely. Has been for years. It continues to grow. Yep.
All right. There
Open
you go.
Open your eyes, people.
There you go. All right. Christina, love you, girl.
Love you guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Ty enjoyed the conversation with you while you were on hold, by the way. All right. This sums up our concludes our On the Tee program. Hopefully you found it enjoyable. Again, my picks for today: Homa to win it at plus 250. Answer to finish in the top five at plus 100. Scheffler to finish in the top 10 at plus 188. And I've got McCarthy, Hoffman, Answer, and Bradley in matchups. And I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm taking JB Holmes over DJ today in round four at plus 265. I just throw a little coin on that just for poops and giggles.
On the Tee with Anita Marks. Brought to you by Canteen Vodka Soda. Ready to drink. Ready to go on 98.7 ESPN.